Welcome again to Human Resource Management, and today's audio recording is on ethics. And just to get the ball rolling, have a bit of a think about why we think it's important to be considering ethics in human resource management. Is it perhaps that we want to avoid concepts such as nepotism? And you might go, oh, what's nepotism? Well, nepotism might be, as a human resource manager, you might just employ your friends and family into the jobs rather than employing people that are the best people for the job. That could be considered to be unethical. What about paying a chief executive officer millions and millions of dollars whereby trying to get as many people on the lowest salaries as you possibly can and having those sorts of practices? What about offshoring, sending the work offshore to people that work long hours under very poor conditions with very low pay to avoid having to pay higher salaries in another country? These might be some of the ethical considerations that might pop up when we look at this whole topic of ethics. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through the slides that you've got available up on Canvas. And the first slide is to do with reasons to be ethical. And there's 3 points listed here: legal, strategic, and business. So obviously, from a legal point of view, we need to comply with the law. So let's use, for example, the Equal Employment Act. And you might remember when we were looking at the legal overview that there are various grounds for discrimination, such as pregnancy, marital status, race, religion, gender, etc. Now, we can obviously make sure that we comply with the law and do what is the bare minimum, or we could actually try and go beyond what the law says and try and have a culture, an ethical culture in our place where we're trying to embrace diversity. And so, yes, the minimum standard is complying with the law, but I would suggest that we would be wanting to try and go much further than just the mere minimum standards. And another reason to be ethical is that is the strategic, and it might actually help with our competitiveness and attract and retain high quality employees. So from a competitiveness point of view, people might actually choose your company because you're a company with very high corporate social responsibility or very high ethical standards. And so that might actually help you to win contracts against other suppliers. And in terms of attracting and retaining a high quality workforce, a strong ethical culture, strategically trying to have a strong ethical culture, might actually mean that you're an organisation that people will actually want to come and work for. And once they've got a job with you, they'll stay with you. And they might say, well, I don't want to work for that other organisation because they, I don't want to be associated with them because they do bad things in the environment. They dump chemicals into the water streams. They've got a really bad name and I don't want to be associated with them. Whereas your organisation is quite the opposite. It's known for having very high moral and ethical standards. So yes, I want to come and work for you. And related to that are some of the business reasons. Can improve productivity, reduce absenteeism, turnover. People are satisfied and happy working for your organisation because they follow the ethical values and agree with the ethical values that your organisation has. So just some of the reasons. You might even be able to think of some others. Some of the dimensions of organisational ethics. So one of the concepts we talk about is the culture or the business culture. And we want to have a very positive culture where people within the organisation have share values that are related to ethics and related concepts, such as looking after the environment and doing the best by others. So if you can entrench that into the culture of your organisation, that's a good thing. Another concept we talk about here is the treatment of employees. And so from a human resource management perspective, we are definitely concerned with how our employees are treated, and we want to treat them as human beings with the greatest deal of respect, ensure their dignity and so forth. So even when it comes to things like disciplining an employee, we're doing that with in a fair manner and obviously respecting them as an individual and their rights as an individual and how we go about that. And another dimension of organisational ethics is HR professional ethics. And for example, the Australian Human Resources Institute puts out its own standards of ethical conduct for HR professionals. And so we'll have a look at some of those in a moment, but that's another example or another dimension of how we might view organisational ethics. So here are some different ethical stances. Imagine a straight line. And at one end of the line, let's call it the left-hand side of the line, we're very poor on our ethics and to the point that we might be intentionally trying to break laws, underpay people, discriminate if we can get away with it, dump chemicals into streams if we can. You know, that can be one sort of side of unethical practices. Whereas the other side of the line is where you've got a really strong culture of trying to have very high moral and ethical standards. So the first dot point here on the slide is talking about complicity, and this is where human resources is intentionally involved in unethical practices. Now, hopefully that won't be any of us, but you know, that would be the sorts of things like HR agrees to wiping clean the leave records of people that work in HR. You know, that would obviously be illegal and unethical. Another stance that HR could take is that it remains silent when it knows that there's something unethical that happens. So they might not necessarily be directly involved in it, but they turn a blind eye, so to speak, or they ignore the unethical practices. Then we start moving to a better stance, and the next one is called responsiveness, and that's where you take action if you see something that is unethical, so that's a good thing. And then the final point is stewardship, and that's where HR assumes responsibility for creating and sustaining an ethical climate or culture. So in other words, being ethically responsible, having very, very high ethical human resource standards is part of the way you do things in the organisation and part of what you do to encourage all the staff, the leaders, the supervisors to embrace very high ethical standards. So I mentioned on a earlier slide that the Australian Human Resources Institute has got some professional codes of ethics, and if you just scan down this slide here, you'll see what they are. So integrity, lawful, confidentiality, being competent, organisational capacity in the area of HR, all relevant ethical inclusions in their code of ethics for HR professionals here in Australia that choose to join the Australian Human Resources Institute. Another one is the concept of ethical treatment of employees. And so the first area is distributive justice. And so here we're talking about things such as pay and remuneration and the fair allocation of wages to people within your organisation and the rewards that you give. So fair pay for fair work. The other one is to do with procedural justice. And so, for example, how you go about making decisions. So, for example, in terms of disciplining an employee might be a decision that is getting made, and you might be needing to dismiss someone or give them a warning. And procedural justice is that you're actually putting them through a fair process or procedure. So you don't just say to someone, okay, you're fired because so-and-so said that you punched another employee. The procedure would be that you would follow an established set of grievance procedures within your organisation, give them the opportunity to respond to the allegations. You obviously will research those allegations. You might even give them the opportunity to have a support person and so forth. So you've got a fair and consistent procedure in place for making such a decision. And another area of ethical treatment of employees is to do with interactions or interactional justice. So you treat everyone with respect and integrity as human beings. So a lot of organisations will actually devise a document called a code of conduct, or sometimes called a code of ethics. Most larger organisations will have one. And part of your employment is that you agree to what's contained within the code of ethics. So all employees in the organisation, whether you're the chief executive officer, or the lowest level employee, so to speak, you all are bound by and agree to a common code of ethics. You're all working towards the same standards. And the sorts of issues that are talked about include things such as integrity. Integrity is the practice of being honest and showing a consistent and uncompromising adherence to strong moral and ethical principles and values. And in ethics, integrity is regarded as the honesty and truthfulness and accuracy of one's actions. So integrity is a very important aspect, which involves honesty, etc., that it expects of all its employees. Another area is relationships and how we deal with people. And a lot of code of ethics will say we'll treat each other with respect in our relationships with each other in the workplace. And then there'll be positions on the use of alcohol, tobacco and drugs, and most codes of conduct will have a zero tolerance for those in the workplace. The other one would be the use of employer resources, and so people agree not to use employer resources for private use. That can be an example, such as taking paper and pens and those sorts of things home. Codes of conduct often deal with confidentiality as well, and that anything that you hear of a confidential nature in the workplace will remain confidential, i.e. you're not to talk about it with others outside of the workplace. And often codes of conduct will deal with conflicts of interest. So if you feel that there's a conflict of interest in matters that you're making decisions about, you'll declare those conflicts of interest. That would be another matter that's commonly included in codes of conduct or codes of ethics within organisations. Maybe your organisation that you've been part of has got a code of conduct or a code of ethics. And part of ethics in organisation is this whole concept of corporate social responsibility, which does mean different things to different people. There's quite a few different definitions out there, but one is that corporate social responsibility is a management concept whereby organizations integrate social and environmental concerns in their business operations and in their interactions with their stakeholders. So, in other words, it's the ethical, social, environmental relationship of those concepts together, which form part of corporate social responsibility. So you need to ask yourself, what is corporate social responsibility, and then how it relates to human resource management? And so we'll look at the next slide to unpack that a little bit more. And so one of the ways in which we are corporately socially responsible citizens is in how we deal with and treat our employees. And so one way is to view our employees actually as stakeholders in the organization. And so we want to treat our stakeholders with respect. And so we treat our employees as stakeholders as part of demonstrating commitment to corporate social responsibility. And we also treat them as social actors where we as an organisation, and including our employees who work for our organisation, will demonstrate responsible capitalism. And so organisations, for example, might be seeking to make a profit, but that's got to be done so in a way that doesn't negatively affect society. So sure, we want to produce gold or iron ore or whatever, but if that comes at a cost of pouring chemicals into the local water supply and asking our employees to do that, then obviously, we're not acting in a manner consistent with corporate social responsibility. Some ethics and social issues in human resource management. So a lot of organisations will do various testing of their employees or potential employees. In the selection process, we've already talked about psychometric tests and personality tests. But how ethical is it to actually find out this information? What about drug testing in the workplace? Is that actually infringing on someone's personal rights? What about the ethical issues associated with the use of what we sometimes call the contingent workforce? So we've got our permanent employees, but what about if we're always just using temps and casuals and agency staff so that we don't actually have to have a permanent workforce? How ethical is that? If you're just employing people as casuals, those casuals find it hard to get loans, to get a housing loan, for example, or even a car loan. So wouldn't it be better for those people to be employed as an ongoing permanent employee? And so there are ethical issues just in the use of employing lots of temps and casuals and agency staff rather than permanent employee. What about whistleblowing? A whistleblower is someone who actually highlights something that is unethical in the organisation. They might say, look, I've saw people stealing. And that person who brings that to the attention of management is called a whistleblower. And how do we treat the whistleblower? Are we going to treat them fairly? With technology, it's quite easy for us to install security cameras and so forth, but how ethical is that, where we've got cameras watching what people are doing in the workplace? And that's another issue. Offshoring, where we're engaging employees from another country to work for us, or similarly, we are sending people offshore and away from their families and fly in, fly out, and all the mental health issues that come about. There's a lot of discussion about the huge salaries that top executives get, and is that fair and equitable, especially when we compare it to what other people in the organisation might be getting? And what about training and skill development? What is our ethical and moral obligation to collectively make sure that we've got enough people trained of a high standard in the industry as we start to look at this bigger picture? And what about the whole issue of people working long hours and doing long trips away from home and so forth? What are the ethical issues in terms of ensuring work and life balance, which is quite important, obviously, from an individual and society and family perspective? So a couple of other concepts just to finish with on this topic. Sustainable human resource management and green human resource management are a couple of concepts that we talk about. Really, what we should be trying to instill for a sustainable human resource management ethical mindset is to really have a culture where everyone is aware of ethics, the need to be ethical, and that they agree with everything that is typically within a code of conduct. And we've gone through those areas that are typically in a code of conduct. And so you want an ethically and socially focused mindset where people are honest, trustworthy, maintain confidentiality, treat people with respect and fairness, etc. And this is part of the way we do things in our organization. Organizations are quite concerned that they meet triple bottom line accountability. And so here we're talking about economic sustainability and accountability, social sustainability and accountability, and environmental sustainability and accountability. And sometimes chief executives are asked to report on a monthly basis or however they report to their boards, but they're often asked to report in a manner consistent with triple bottom line reporting. So tell us what you're doing to ensure economic sustainability. Tell us what you're doing for social sustainability and environmental sustainability. So these are concepts that are being entrenched at the senior level, and senior executives are being held accountable to make sure that they're accountable and responsible in each of these areas. And finally, green human resource management, and this is the adoption of environmentally friendly practices. And by adopting these environmentally friendly practices, it's actually going to have an impact on attracting employees, retaining employees, and engaging employees, especially those from Generation Y. So today we've talked about ethics and human resource management, and hopefully you will go forward from this with some ideas of how you can influence your organisations in a positive way when it comes to corporate social responsibility and maintaining a strong ethical climate in your organisations.